Okay, so we talked about Jesus declared his coming kingdom and church, and now we're getting into the birth of the church. The birth of the church was the day of Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit. We know this, right? And then Peter preached and 3,000 got saved. He could not have done this without the power of the Holy Spirit. For 3,000 to get saved. Because remember, Peter had some failings before that. Before he got empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And so let's go to Acts. Chapter 2. Verse 41. Start at 41. And it says, therefore, those who accepted and welcomed his message were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. That is how many people came to Jesus after Peter preached. And they steadfastly persevered, devoting themselves constantly to the instruction and fellowship of the apostles, to the breaking of bread, including the Lord's Supper and prayers. There's a lot to be said in that one paragraph, or that one sentence. And a sense of awe and reverential fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were performed through the apostles. And all who believed, who adhered to and trusted in and relied on Jesus Christ were united, and together they had everything in common. And they sold their possessions, both their landed property and their movable goods, and distributed the price among all according as any had need. And day after day they regularly assembled in the temple with united purpose, and in their homes they broke bread, including the Lord's Supper. They partook of their food with gladness and simplicity and generous hearts, constantly praising God and being in favor and goodwill with all the people. And the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were being saved from spiritual death. To me, this says a lot about, you don't have to get in people's faces. If you just preach the word, people will come and be saved. He didn't do a lot of marketing. He didn't do a lot of promos or anything like that. He just preached salvation, preached the gospel. And people came and they were added to the church daily. And I think there's a lot to be said in those few paragraphs on how the people behaved after they came to the Lord and how the church grew. Right? Okay, 3, division arises concerning equitable distribution of goods for Hebrew and Greek Jews. We know the story, but let's go there. Acts chapter 6, and starting at verse 1. Now about this time, when the number of the disciples was greatly increasing, complaint was made by the Hellenists, which was the Greek-speaking Jews, remember I told you what those were, against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked and neglected in the daily ministration or distribution of relief. So the 12 apostles convened the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not seemly or desirable or right that we should have to give up or neglect preaching the word of God in order to attend to serving at tables and superintending the distribution of food. Therefore, select out from among yourselves, brethren, 7 men of good and attested character and repute, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may assign to look after this business and duty. But we will continue to devote ourselves steadfastly to prayer and the ministry of the word. And the suggestion pleased the whole assembly, and they selected Stephen, a man full of faith, a strong and welcome belief that Jesus is Messiah, and full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte, convert from Antioch. These they presented to the apostles, who after prayer laid their hands on them. And the message of God kept on spreading, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And besides, a large number of the priests were obedient to the faith in Jesus as the Messiah, through whom is obtained eternal salvation in the kingdom of God. Now, you know, that's the beginning of the ministry of helps, and that's a big thing for me. But they had to focus on what God called them to do. And not deal with, do you see how the devil could have distracted them? And they got so wrapped up into everything going on with the people and their arguments and their pettiness that they neglected what God actually called them to do. And so the ministry of helps is very important. And the other good thing was is that they did not say who was going to, they didn't appoint anyone themselves. They said, you guys choose. You guys decide who is to be there. And which you can't argue with that, then you can't complain, right? Mm-hmm. Did you choose them? I had no say in it. You chose. We laid hands and agreed with you and laid hands on them, and God anointed them to carry out those positions. Okay. Now Stephen's preaching and martyrdom. Now we know Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. They said he had the face of an angel. And he's our first martyr. And so Acts 6 and 7. So let's pick up where we left off. On Acts 6, verse 8. It says, now Stephen, full of grace, divine blessing and favor and power, strength and ability, worked great wonders and signs among the people. However, some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, which is freed Jewish slaves, as it was called, and of the synagogue of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Sicilia, the province of Asia, arose and undertook to debate and dispute with Stephen. But they were not able to resist the intelligence and wisdom and the inspiration of the Spirit with which and by whom he spoke. So they secretly instigated and instructed men to say, we have heard this man speak using slanderous and abusive and blasphemous language against Moses and God. Thus they incited the people as well as the elders and the scribes, and they came upon Stephen and arrested him and took him before the council or the Sanhedrin. And they brought forward false witnesses who asserted this man never stops making statements against the sacred place and the law of Moses. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazarene will tear down and destroy this place and will alter the institutions and usages which Moses transmitted to us. Then all who sat in the council or the Sanhedrin, as they gazed intently at Stephen, saw that his face had the appearance of the face of an angel. And the high priest asked Stephen, are these charges true? And he asked, and he answered, brethren and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our forefather Abraham when he was still in Mesopotamia, before he went to live in Haran. And he said to him, leave your own country and your relatives and come into a land that I will point out to you. So then he went forth from the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. And from there, after his father died, God transferred him to this country in which you are now dwelling. Yet he gave him no inheritable property in it, no, not even enough ground to set his foot on. But he promised that he would give it to him for a permanent possession and to his descendants after him, even though he had no child. And this is what God told him, that his descendants would be aliens or strangers in a land belonging to other people who would bring them into bondage and ill-treat them for 400 years. But I will judge the nation to whom they will be slaves, said God, and after that they will escape and come forth and worship me in this very place. And God made with Abraham a covenant, which circumcision was the seal. And under this circumcision, under these circumstances, became the father of Isaac and circumcised him on the eighth day. And Isaac, when he became the father of Jacob, and Jacob, when he, when each of his sons was born, the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs, Jacob's sons, boiling with envy and hatred and anger, sold Joseph into slavery in Egypt, but God was with him. And he delivered him from all his distressing afflictions and won him goodwill and favor and wisdom and understanding in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Then there came a famine over all of Egypt and Canaan with great distress, and our forefathers could find no fodder for the cattle or vegetable sustenance for their households. But when Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent forth our forefathers to go there on their first trip. And on their second visit, Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, and the family of Joseph became known to the Pharaoh and his origin and race. And Joseph sent an invitation, calling to himself Jacob his father and all his kindred, 75 persons in all. And Jacob went down into Egypt, where he himself died, as did also our forefathers. And their bodies, Jacob's and Joseph's, were taken back to Shechem and laid in the tomb which Abraham had purchased for a sum of silver money from the sons of Hamor in Shechem. But as the time for the fulfillment of the promise drew near, which God had made to Abraham, the Hebrew people increased and multiplied in Egypt, until the time when they arose over Egypt another and a different king, who did not know Joseph, neither knowing his history and services, nor recognizing his merits. He dealt treacherously with and defrauded our race. He abused and oppressed our forefathers, forcing them to expose their babies so that they might not be kept alive. At this juncture, Moses was born and was exceedingly beautiful in God's sight. For 3 months he was nurtured in his father's house. Then, when he was exposed to perish, the daughter of Pharaoh rescued him and took him and reared him as her own son. So Moses was educated in all the wisdom and culture of the Egyptians, and he was mighty, powerful in his speech and deeds. And when he was in his 40th year, it came into his heart to visit his kinsmen, the children of Israel, to help them and to care for them. And on seeing one of them being unjustly treated, he defended the oppressed man and avenged him by striking down the Egyptian and slaying him. He expected his brethren to understand that God was granting them deliverance by his hand, taking it for granted that they would accept him, but they did not understand. Then on the next day he suddenly appeared to some who were quarreling and fighting among themselves, and he urged them to make peace and become reconciled, saying, "Men, you are brethren. Why do you abuse and wrong one another?" Whereupon the man who was abusing his neighbor pushed Moses aside, saying, "Who appointed you a ruler and a judge over us? Do you intend to slay me as you slew the Egyptian yesterday?" At that reply, Moses sought safety by flight, and he was an exile and an alien in the country of Midian, where he became the father of two sons. And when 40 years had gone by, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel in the flaming of a burning bramble bush. When Moses saw it, he was astonished and marveled at the sight. But when he went close to investigate, there came to him a voice of the Lord saying, "I am the God of your forefathers, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob." And Moses trembled and was so terrified that he did not venture to look. Then the Lord said to him, "Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground and worthy of veneration. Because I have most assuredly seen the abuse and oppression of my people in Egypt, and have heard their sighing and groaning, I have come down to rescue them. So now come, I will send you back to Egypt as my messenger." It was this very Moses whom they had denied and disowned and rejected, saying, "Who made you our ruler and judge?" Whom God sent to be a ruler and deliverer and redeemer by and with the protecting and helping hand of the angel that appeared to him in the bramble bush. He it was who led them forth, having worked wonders and signs in Egypt and at the Red Sea and during the 40 years in the wilderness. It was this very Moses who said to the children of Israel, "God will raise up for you a prophet from among your brethren, and he raised me up. This is he who is in the assembly in wilderness, was the go-between for the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and our forefathers, and he received living oracles, words that still live to be handed down to us. And yet our forefathers determined not to be subject to him, refusing to listen to or obey him, but thrusting him aside, they rejected him, and in their hearts yearned for and turned back to Egypt. And they said to Aaron, 'Make us gods who shall be our leaders and go before us, And as for this Moses who led us forth from the land of Egypt, we have no knowledge of what he has happened to him. And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice to the idol and made merry and exalted in the work of their own hands. But God turned away from them and delivered them up to worship and serve the host stars of heaven. As it is written in the book of the prophets, did you offer to me slain beasts and sacrifices for 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? No, you took up the tent of Moloch and carried it with you, and the star of the god Rephan, the images which you yourselves made, that you might worship them. And I will remove you, carrying you away into exile beyond Babylon. Our forefathers had the tent tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, even as he who directed Moses to make it had ordered, according to the pattern and model he had seen. Our forefathers in turn brought it in with Joshua when they depossessed the nations which God drove out before the face of our forefathers. So it remained here until the time of David, who found grace, favor, and spiritual blessing in the sight of God, and prayed that he might be allowed to find a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built a house for him. However, the Most High does not dwell in the houses and temple made with hands, as the prophet says, heaven is my throne and earth my footstool for my feet. What kind of house can you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place in which I can rest? Was it not my hand that made all these things? You stubborn and stiff-necked people, still heathen and uncircumcised in your heart and ears, you are always actively resisting the Holy Spirit. As your forefathers were, so you are, and so you do. Which of the prophets did your forefathers not persecute? And they slew those who proclaimed beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you now have betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as it was ordained and set in order and delivered by angels, and yet you did not obey it. Now, upon hearing these things, the Jews were cut to the heart and infuriated, and they ground their teeth against Stephen. But he, full of the Holy Spirit and controlled by him, gazed into heaven and saw the glory, the splendor and majesty of God, and Jesus standing at God's right hand. And he said, look, I see the heavens open and the sons of man standing at God's right hand. But they raised a great shout and put their hands over their ears and rushed together upon him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him, and the witnesses placed their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And while they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive and accept and welcome my spirit. And falling on his knees, he cried out loudly, Lord, fix not this sin upon them, lay it not to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep in death. So that was his final sermon before he went home to heaven. So let's stop there, and we'll pick this up on our next class on page 4F. Okay.